of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Welcome to Wednesday. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With me, as always, across the broadcast desk in Studio D, is Chevalier from fizzlingpop.com. It's Colin Burton.
Hello, everybody.
And again, in studio, we can't get rid of her. It's my sister Heather from Matted Spam.
Hola.
Well, what we were doing, and this will really give you an easy insight into how we do this podcast, is the last episode, we had decided that we were going to talk about drinking on the job, and because we were going to try to do it right, drinking on the job, we were drinking while we did the podcast, so it ended before we figured we were done. And so we're not done. We're still drinking. It's still the same day. And Colin's buzzing like a cheap TV, and he's afraid he's going to fall down the stairs when he leaves.
Yeah.
And
those are steep stairs, man.
And I've had a couple of cups full of Stewart's ginger beer and Hennessy cognac, and I'm feeling pretty good. And Heather, because she's the designated driver for poor Colin tonight, hasn't had anything but Sprite Zero.
Woo-hoo.
Zero sugar, zero carbs, it's Sprite Zero, zero lemon lime soda.
Yay! All right.
Now, one of the reasons we're doing yet another drunk show, kind of continuing, just piggybacking on the last week's being drunk show, is because Colin wanted to fill people in on where he really started drinking, and that was when he was stationed in England with the Air Force.
Yeah, RAF Upper Heyford.
Which is now long gone.
Unfortunately, yeah, I found out about it. It actually made me sad when I read about it. I'm surprised because I hated it while I was there. But
yet everything that you hate later becomes kind of nostalgic.
Nostalgic, yeah, because I read about how they had the closing ceremony and everything.
And you weren't invited.
No. And those poor peace campers, they'd have to go somewhere else.
They'll find another base, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, you said that you had fallen in with a crowd of boozers when you had gone off to...
Man, everybody's a boozer. As a matter of fact, well...
To a degree.
Yeah. I mean, this is secondary information, but when we were doing one of the exercises, we'd have an exercise every month, preparedness exercise for chemical warfare training and all that kind of thing. And it would actually go to the point where, when it finally ended, the EF-111s would be taken off with actual nukes on board. And I don't know if I should actually be saying that because...
Put ice in the glasses because it's kind of hot up here.
Yeah. So anyway, one of the exercises, they dropped one of the nukes.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Where did that end up?
On the runway.
Like China. I don't know.
No, it...
They didn't actually get up to their exercise. They just lost it.
No. What I'm saying is when they were load them onto the plane.
Oh, just loading it.
And then they take off from the runway, and once they were off, that was the end of the exercise.
Oh.
And, the guys had dropped it. I guess they were a little bit not... exactly right in the head. They'd been drinking. Or something. I think they had. And they dropped it. So
wow. So our Air Force has drunk guards.
Well, that was back in the 90s. I'm sure things are much better now.
Much safer. Much safer. But anyway, you had said you had a very special roommate while you were at RAF Upper Heyford.
Right. Well, I originally had a decent roommate. He worked in my shop with me. And then we had a friend who we started associating with. And he had a crazy roommate who was totally into God. I mean, like...
Well, it's not crazy to be into God.
No.
I'm claiming Jesus Christ.
No. This was crazy. He ate, breathed, drank, lived God. Everything was God with him.
Manna? He had manna from heaven?
I don't know what he had, but he had the craziest.
Actually, as an aside, did you know that post cornflakes?
Kellogg's
cornflakes. No, Post Toasties cornflakes. Uh-huh. Because Kellogg and Post were competitive. Post had actually spent time at Kellogg's retreat in Battle Creek. Post Toasties cornflakes were actually initially called manna.
Really?
Yeah, like Jehovah's manna or something similar to that. And then, of course, because of outcry from the religious community, they changed them to Post Toasties.
Right.
So if you read the Bible, some of the newer versions have
Post
Toasties falling from heaven to feed the Jews, not manna.
Well, that's...
But go ahead.
That's not
okay.
True.
What are you? I'm drunk.
Okay. So anyway, the three of us, me, Mark, and Ken, we're good friends and everything. We'd hang out together. And Ken's crazy roommate, whom I can't really remember, we didn't hang out with him so much because
he just
wanted to kill him. No. So I agreed at one point to swap roommates. Mark went over to live with Ken, and I got the crazy. I don't know why. I don't know why I did that.
Were you drunk?
Possibly. I was doing a lot. We were doing a lot of club
hopping. I hate my roommate. Oh, man, I'll take him. He's brutal.
Yeah. Well, basically, Ken was saying that he was going to have to wind up killing him if he wasn't able to get rid of him some way. So we did that. And then by the end of it all, I wanted to kill him. But anyway, what we wound up doing...
And we know that when you want to kill somebody, you'll just hide a knife under your bike seat and stab the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So, here's the funny thing. Okay, we took him to the enlisted men's club one night to try to loosen him up and get him normal. And, we were
communion wine just wasn't cutting.
No,
it.
But here's the we were buying him virgin drinks.
Oh, so you were.
But he didn't know they were virgin drinks.
So you were giving the dope smoker oregano. You were telling him there was booze, but there was no booze in
it. He didn't want to drink at all. Okay, he felt that. That alcohol was the devil's brew.
The devil.
Yes. It was the totally demon liquor. Him. But we got him to do. We were giving
I'm
him. I'm
going to indulge in some of the demon liquor right now.
Yeah, I probably should too. But okay.
Take a
so
sip. I'll edit it
okay.
Out. I'm really not going to edit it out.
So anyway, how?
Damn, that was good stuff.
Well, no, I bit a piece of ice and it hurt my filling.
Oh, I see.
But okay, by the end of it all, he is just acting all crazy, shouting out shit,
thinks he's
drunk.
Acting drunk because he thinks he should be drunk.
Exactly,
but
it was the placebo effect. He hadn't had anything. And he was he got to the point where Ken had to pick him up, throw him down. And Ken was a big guy. He's the one who I eventually got in touch with, but I haven't actually written. Anyway, he threw him down.
I've got in touch with him, but I haven't actually given him
Well, I wrote to him initially to find out if he was the right Ken, because I found him at that site where I found out about the base closure.
Not right Ken.
Nobody was the right Ken.
Oh,
I just
good right
written
Ken.
Him.
Not right freak.
Anyway, so he slams this kid on the ground and has to sit on him because he's acting insane. The kid had ripped off his shirt and was just... absolutely insane. We're telling him, you didn't have any alcohol. You're being crazy. There's no reason for this behavior. And he would hear none of it. He acted totally crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Did he ever find out that he wasn't really drunk?
Well, that's just it. We told him right then and there that he had had, but in his head, well, he was crazy.
he was crazy for Jesus.
He was crazy before he had the fake drinks. So, of course, no, he didn't. And fortunately, I was able to move off base before I actually had to kill him.
Because you would have.
I don't know what I would have done.
You're a dangerous man, Colin Burton.
I get along with a lot of people, but...
But you did other drinking, and the reason that Colin is drinking Crown and Coke tonight is because when he was stationed at RAF Upper Hayford in England, he developed quite a Crown Royal habit. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
I drank a lot of Crown and Royal
and Coke.
I don't really know what to say. I mean, it's just... It was one of the things.
I mean, it's a good drink. I mean, if you're going to break into the hard liquor,
I'll say that.
I mean, I hate the taste of beer. I will say that.
Right.
Beer, as far as the American public goes, is one of the most popular alcoholic beverages. At least the advertising leads us to believe that. I hate the taste of beer. It tastes like shit. I have not come across a beer that I enjoy. I will drink things like Mike's Hard Lime and Mike's Hard Lemonade things, but I am a huge fan of whiskeys. I will even drink straight corn whiskey. I mean, the Hillbilly Moonshine. I'll drink it. I'll even go so far. I mean, I'll consider rubbing alcohol, but I won't drink beer. So Crown Royal is a very smooth, tasty, blended whiskey. And, of course, as you all know already, I'm drinking Hennessy, which is just awesome.
Right.
I love this stuff.
Yeah, I basically the same people. Ken was a bit of a drinker, and Mark was a bit of a drinker, and I just sort of fell in with them, and I didn't like the taste of beer either, although lately, well, I wouldn't say lately, I found that Dos Equis doesn't taste too bad.
Really?
Yeah, and...
I heard that was just piss.
Nah, it's
all the Mexicans piss in the vat, man.
And there's Killian's Red I kind of like, too.
Actually, you know, my wife loves Killian's.
Yeah.
She finds that to be very tasty. If you can find it in the tap, she'll drink it. She'll actually drink beer.
Yeah.
Whereas
I can't get through beer. I don't see it as a refreshing drink in any way.
Yeah, it just tastes bad, promotes the belly growth. Which I don't need any more of.
Yeah.
Not that whiskey doesn't, but because of the grains and the hops,
the more
carbs. I mean, this is just sugar carbs.
I'll say, okay, hanging out with Mark and Ken playing darts one night, we decided to hit... You okay? Derek is dying on air as we watch.
Ice Cube.
That's what you get for taking What's-Her-Face's candy. So anyway.
Okay, yeah, we'll cover that some other time.
Candy?
There was no candy today, but there was candy at some other time. Yeah, we'll cover that some other time.
Yeah, when we're more sober.
Certainly some other time.
So anyway,
it was Carlene's candy.
Carlene, that's her name. Yeah.
Car-frickin-lane. But anyway, so you're hanging out with drunkards.
Yeah.
You're becoming a butterfingered drunker yourself.
Pretty much. And Ken had gotten a bottle of Irish whiskey for his birthday, and the idea was we would play darts and drink whiskey until we couldn't stand up anymore, or until the whiskey was gone.
Sure. Whichever happens first.
Right. And actually, that's when I found out I don't like Irish whiskey.
You know, Irish whiskey is pretty strong. Yeah. I've had Irish whiskey. I enjoy it, but if I'm going to drink anything neat or straight, it'll be fine Scotch whiskey, whereas apparently Irish whiskey is not as good.
I don't know. I mean, apparently it was a very good brand. They liked it. I just couldn't really
just
get
not
into
for
it.
You.
No, no.
You're but, more of a whiskey mixed with other things.
Yeah,
kind of guy.
I think actually, I think Crown and Coke was originally suggested at the enlisted men's. Club.
Crown and Coke is a good one. 7 and 7, as I mentioned before, nice and smooth.
Yeah, I like that too.
Tasty, and of course, Seagram 7 is another blended Canadian whiskey. If you folks out there in podcast land ever have an opportunity to mix Hennessy, very special cognac, with Stewart's ginger beer, now you can use any ginger ale, but Stewart's ginger beer has a nice spicy edge to it, which lends itself to complement the sweet of the Hennessy. And really, I'm just loving this.
Now, unless you're underage, in which case,
yes,
no drinking.
We should reiterate what we said last time, is that everybody drinking in this podcast is of legal drinking age, and the people that do not live here at Maison de Chevalier, which is Colin, has a ride home, has a designated driver. So if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. If you're going to get stinking drunk, do so responsibly if there's a possible way to do that.
See, that reminds me of a time when we were doing pub crawls through one of the Banbury. That's right.
They call it bar hopping in the States and pub crawling in
the
UK.
Basically, the idea is you go into the place, you get a drink, drink as fast as you can, you go to another pub.
Sounds like an awesome time.
It is. And
do they have buses specifically for pub crawling?
Well, actually, yeah. For our shop, we would rent...
Party bus?
Pretty much, yeah. Party bus. And the driver would be somebody who was hired from the natives.
the natives. In this case, though, they're not used to talk like this.
And they drive us from pub to pub.
They love bland food.
And actually, the first pub crawl I went on, are you familiar with... Oh, crap. Please edit out this break. It's a very thick lager. It's the
Guinness.
Black.
Guinness stout. Yes, eats like a meal.
Yes, it's very, very thick.
I am familiar with
black.
It. I believe in my case, I have had a little bit of it, and I'm of the opinion that it tastes like bitter motor oil.
Right. I had one taste of it, and then I was on cider the rest of the night.
Yeah, I like cider.
Yeah, hard cider is very good. But one of the people he was just going to drink Guinness and everything, and we had to go. It was time for us to get on the bus and get the hell out of there.
So he had to grab a fork and eat the rest of the Guinness.
But that's just it. He slammed the Guinness. Can you imagine slamming a Guinness?
I cannot imagine.
He made it
drinking a Guinness all the way to the bar.
As far as the door before he just spewed like a sprinkler. It was just everywhere. And then he rode out the rest of the pub. And
that actually brings to mind, like I mentioned earlier, as a very bad person, kids don't try this at home, I indulged in alcohol before I was legal age to do so. This was when I was 18. Now, in Colin's case, when he was 18, he was legal to drink. But when I was 18, I was not legal to drink because the legal drinking age, of course, is 21, and it was when I was 18. But I did indulge at a graduation party because we had just graduated from our high school.
Criminal.
I know. Look at me. I am such an asshole. But we indulged in alcohol. Mad Dog 2020, some malt liquor, whatever was cheap. I mean, you know, somebody had to buy it, and somebody had to give them the money, and one of them was us. And obviously, since we couldn't buy it, we had to front the money, and we had no money. So we had to get things that costed like a dollar or less. Mad Dog, what was it? St. Ides malt liquor. But somehow, the money was pooled enough to get a very small bottle of Wild Turkey. Now, if you're familiar with Wild Turkey, it's a very high-proof whiskey, something I would probably enjoy now as an adult, as a 32-year-old whiskey aficionado. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of harsh. I haven't really had Wild Turkey in a long time. But we were playing a drinking game.
Okay.
And the game was this. One of the expended bottles of St. Ides was set on a table. A deck of cards was set on the top of the bottle of the expended bottle of St. Ides. People were gathered around the table, and when it became your turn, you had to blow on the deck of cards. If you blew 1 to 3 cards off, you were safe. If you blew the entire deck off, you had to drink. If you blew no cards off, you had to drink twice.
Mm-hmm.
So this went around the table for a while, and the friend that I was there with, who's not a friend now, who was an asshole, but at the time I considered him a friend, but he's not a friend now, I must reiterate, he is an asshole.
Okay.
His first name begins with J.
I know who it is.
And in fact, his name is J. But anyway, he's an asshole.
This one that lost the fingers?
Yeah. Blew up like a hot dog in the arc welder.
Right.
Good for him.
It's such good karma.
It's fitting. Anyway, I was doing pretty good at the game. Mm-hmm. I've got pretty good control over my lungs,
blowing.
I guess. I can blow with the best of them.
He's got calibrated blowing.
Well, I was doing pretty good at the game. Only had to drink maybe once or twice, and it was St. Ides, and God, that stuff is nasty. It's worth the dollar. But he wasn't doing very well at all. And I think this was also partly placebo effect. He wanted to be drunk, kind of like your friend.
Not my friend.
Your buddy. Your psycho-insane buddy that you mentioned earlier. And he was acting drunk. And at one point, we had expended the St. Ides and had moved on to the Wild Turkey. Well, it got around to him at one point, and he failed to blow any off. And so we had to drink twice. Well, about a third of the bottle, and it was a smaller bottle, maybe a pint bottle, similar to the Hennessy bottle I have in my hand. But it was about that much.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you've ever tried a high-proof whiskey, that's some strong stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he said, well, that's about two drinks, and he slammed it.
Uh-huh.
Immediately, his eyes just glazed over, and any being that he may have had vacated, and he was just a drunken shell of an individual.
Right.
And he no longer had control over his motor skills. And
shat himself.
You know, I wish he had. That would have been significant enough to be embarrassing. But no, we were at somebody's apartment. I think we were hanging out with a guy named Joe at the time, who was just a bad influence. And we were at his mom's apartment. His mom was an idiot. I mean, it was a real winners we were hanging out with that night. So Joe says, well, why don't you take him to my room and let him sleep it off? So we throw him on the bed. And about a half an hour later, I go in there to check on him. And I say, how you doing? You doing all right? Oh, bathroom now. So I grab him, and I'm not too happy with him anyway, because he's just making an ass of himself. He had driven, so now I've got to drive his car back. So I'm ramming him into walls on the way to the bathroom. Just, you know, there's a corner, crack! Head goes into the wall, and I take him to the bathroom, and he throws up. And so I take him back out of the bathroom, and he says, I can walk. And he takes three steps and throws up all over the carpet.
Oh, good Lord.
Right in the middle of the living room. And so everybody's screaming, get him out of here! Get him out of here! And I'm like, damn it!
Yeah.
Why did I have to come with this guy?
That's one thing I'll say is all the drinking that I did, I'd never thrown up yet.
Never thrown up yet. And I threw up the one time, I admit, but I do blame that on bad roast beef.
Although once I did pee in a closet.
What the hell? Only a degenerate would piss in a closet.
It was at the enlisted men's club.
Oh, my God. No wonder you weren't asked back.
Better and better.
Well, it's not why don't you give us a little scene setting? What precipitated you pissing in a closet?
Well, I was once again hanging out with Mark and Ken, and we were...
Sure, blame Mark and Ken.
Well, no, they didn't make me pee. But we were... Yeah, could use more. We were, it was another weekend night, and we were drinking heavily, and actually, was it me that pissed in the closet?
Oh,
no, it was Ken. It was Ken that pissed in the closet.
For the sake of the story, since you started out this way, let's just have it be you.
No.
Colin Burton pissed in the closet in England at the enlisted club at RAF Upper Hay.
No, it was Ken. Anyway, yeah. No, it was Ken.
Well, and why don't you tell the story anyway? But make yourself the protagonist, pisser.
Fine. Couldn't find the bathroom. There was a door. Went in and pissed. It wasn't me. It was Ken.
It wasn't me. Well, then how could you possibly mistake
that? Because I now that I'm thinking about it, I remember we were trying to guide him to the bathroom, and he was totally, totally wasted.
I hope this wasn't the coat closet.
No, it was the utility closet. So there was a drain in the floor, at the very least.
And all the lights go out.
Right. So he just went in there, and we were like, oh, my God, we're going to get caught by MPs, tossed out. But no, he got away with it, pissing in the closet.
So that's probably a crowning achievement in his life.
Probably.
I pissed in a closet one time and didn't get in trouble.
Well, he probably doesn't even remember it. And here you are thinking it's you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I do remember that closet and pissing. I mean...
Come but up with that much.
Anyway, back to that pub crawl that we were doing in Banbury. It was smaller than the
Okay,
big
so
one.
The Guinness guy drinks, chugs the Guinness, and he throws up.
This is different.
But this is... Okay. So this is a totally different pub crawl.
Right, because that was an actual organized big pub crawl.
Oh, so then you got the taste of the pub crawl, and you started going off on rogue pub crawls.
Well, sort of. One of the guys in our shop lived in Banbury, and he knew of all the clubs in the area, and
And this was in swinging
town.
London, baby.
No, it wasn't in London.
Swinging Banbury,
England,
baby.
Yeah, Banbury. But so he knew where all the clubs were, and we planned a walking around pub crawl instead of a driving pub crawl.
So one that could actually conceivably end up in you crawling.
Exactly. And here's the funny thing. What I found out then, because I was drinking a lot that night was that when I got particularly drunk, at least at that time, I would start talking in a Cockney accent.
Ah, kind of like, you know what's funny? Exactly. Very, very funny that you should mention that. Last night I was playing softball.
Mm-hmm.
And because I blew my knee out in September playing hockey, I was wearing my brace. I have a knee brace that's slightly uncomfortable, kind of pinches my calf. And I'd gone out to play my position, which is first base.
Right.
And I kind of... That's right. Colin was there. Yeah, I kind of flexed my leg and adjusted the brace, and the umpire said, oh, looks like it hurts. And I said, well, yeah, I've got a knee brace on. And he started going into how he had played catcher for the Cardinals, and I said, well, I blew my knee out playing hockey. I'm a goalie. And he said, oh, that's why you talk funny, eh? Gonna go oot in a boot? So I must have slipped into, because when I start talking about hockey, because I played with so many Canadians, I usually slip into a Canadian accent there, eh? When I talk about hockey. So I must have said, I'm a hockey goalie.
Yeah.
And so for the rest of the night, he seriously thought I was from Canada.
That's funny.
I never said otherwise. And I thought at the end of the night, he was going to come up and ask me where I was from, but he never did. But I was just going to say, oh, I was born here.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you slip into a Cockney accent.
Right. And that's what I was doing, is I was talking loudly in a Cockney accent,
which
walking
probably
and weaving.
Pissed off the actual Cockneys.
Well, that's the funny thing.
Call
everybody
Cox
that was with me that who was
Cock.
They were worried as hell that I was going to piss off the natives, and we
the
would
natives
be,
again, the natives with bad teeth and told like this all the time,
and that we would
God
get
save
our
the
asses
queen.
Kicked because basically, yeah, the accent that I was coming up with was probably
not very good.
I liked it.
I thought it was awesome.
But you know what?
Do it now.
I don't think I can.
You're
I
drunk
know.
Enough.
Well,
yeah, I am. My whole head is spinning right now.
Yeah, baby.
But
this is what being
really
a butterfinger drunkard
right
is
seriously.
All about.
I think it was a matter
I can
of
do,
being
I'll do,
in
I'll
England
tell you what. I'll do it for him.
Okay.
I'll be like, hello, my name is Colin Burton and I'm drunk. Well, I'm not really Colin Burton. I'm Derek Knight.
I mean, I'm a huge Anglophile, so.
Remember, if you're going to do the Cockney accent, you've got to make the L's R's. The L's become R's all of a sudden. All of a sudden. See how I've kind of glossed over that L sound? It's R. All of a sudden.
I feel like I'm in the office.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, so we're walking along, and they're figuring it's the time for the pub
crawl
to be over. Well, no, it's time to be heading home and take this crazy person with us.
Avoid that.
And so I jump up and I start walking along the side of a bridge. So, yeah, that was pretty dangerous. I lived. I didn't fall.
That is the most anticlimactic story of all the anticlimactic stories you've ever told.
Okay, fine. I would say that was the night that I got
the
drunkest.
I fell into the water and died of hypothermia. That would be much better.
Oh, shut up. So, anyway, so we went back to the guy that lived there, his apartment, and the goal then from that point on was to be the last person to fall asleep so that you didn't get fucked with.
Yeah, well, you know, we work with a guy who's just a complete drunkard. The guy that probably walks around with a constant blood alcohol content. And it happens to be, one of 12 children?
Yeah.
And he has so many brothers that's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
The first person to fall asleep, who's ever unfortunate enough to not be able to hold their alcohol and passes out, gets completely fucked.
Well, see, I remember, as it happened, the one who had thrown up on that other pub crawl was with us on this because he was very much a party guy. He was the first one to pass out, and they were smacking his face with their dicks.
My lord!
Oh, dear God.
You never break that out in front of somebody unless you love them.
Well, I'm telling you, there's no way in hell I was going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, eventually I did, so I have no idea what was done.
You
other than I woke up with shaving cream on me and still drunk when I woke up.
And dick prints.
No,
God, I hope not.
Dick-shaped welts.
No dick prints, but...
Very
but,
small.
Yeah,
ones.
it was definitely the party group that I was with. So,
yeah,
but yeah, that
like
was actually the drunkest I have ever been,
you know,
and I woke up drunk, and that's the only time I've ever done that.
When a couple years ago at the company Christmas party, I mentioned earlier, I woke up drunk the next day. My wife is certain of it. She said that I woke up the next day after literally 9 or 10 hours of sleep, still under the influence of alcohol. Probably couldn't have driven a car, and I didn't.
No, that's good.
You know, I'm a very safe individual when it comes to drinking.
Unlike that one person you were talking about who drives.
Right. Yeah. But under the influence of alcohol, if I know I'm going to be drinking, I never drive. And if I drive, I won't drink. And I think that it's amazing. Here recently, my sister-in-law and her fiancé live out in Las Vegas. They did a thing. Mm-hmm. It's the Metro police in Vegas do put on this little symposium. I think it was either Vegas or North Las Vegas, where they bring you out and they have an open bar. And you can get as drunk as you want, as drunk as you can in the space of a couple hours. And they measure your blood alcohol level.
Right.
And guess what?
That seems dangerous.
Well, guess what?
What?
After even like 10 drinks, mostly beers, her fiance was not at the legal limit.
Really?
Yeah.
He can
she felt
his beer, huh?
She felt drunk. I mean, she felt drunk. He felt drunk. Neither of them would have got behind the wheel of a car, but neither of them were at the legal limit. So imagine how drunk you have to be. Imagine how drunk these people are. Like Pete Coors getting picked up for DUI. Imagine how much they've had to drink. Oh, now, I think if you've had that much to drink, you should realize I shouldn't be driving.
That reminds me, how much time do we have left? Probably not much.
At least 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I was going to say, again, another England story, another Ken story. I didn't start driving a car much until I was already in the Air Force. Before that, it had always been motorcycles. I was a motorcycle person. And in England, that's all I had was a motorcycle. I had never really driven a car, particularly a stick car. Ken had a Mini. Ken was drunk off his ass. He needed me to drive.
And so suddenly you're thrust into the driver's
I'm
seat of a car
because I hadn't been drinking.
You have no idea how to drive it on the wrong side of the road.
Exactly, and I hadn't been drinking. And I scared him so bad.
He swore off the booze.
Yeah, well, no, he didn't swear off the booze, but he made me get over, and he drove us home drunk. So.
Oh, my God. And he was probably doing better.
Probably, because, God, I could not drive a standard car at that time. So.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know, it's tricky. I had learned on a standard.
Yeah.
Well, I drove an automatic for years, and Heather actually was with me, so she can attest to this story. The first stick car I drove after I had driven an automatic for years, I had gone over to Grand Junction, which is 300 miles west of here, over the mountains, to buy. And she was with me. She drove back with me. And we were trying to go the south route to get away from the weather, but the weather hit us anyway. Mm-hmm. And coming over Monarch Pass,
oh my God, it was so
scary. I downshifted a little too early.
Uh-oh.
And we nearly spun off that mountain to our
death. Oh, my God.
But I held it together. And she was fucking scared.
Oh, I was terrified. And you know, honest about what made me calm down?
Uh-huh.
The song Amos Moses, I think we played it like 40 times.
Amos Moses, what occasion?
Rewind it.
Live by myself in a swamp.
And that was what calmed me down. I knew we were going to die. We were going to go right after the cliff.
Boop. Man, my head is ringing.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm actually on the side of drunk right now. I mean, I won't say I'm drunk, but I'm.
Right.
I've had a few. I have indulged
about half the bottle.
About half of this bottle of Hennessy, very special cognac. I like it says very special right there.
Oh, it does say very special.
On the label, you gotta believe
it. It is very special. And I'll tell you what, this is my new favorite drink. I will be indulging in Hennessy anytime I can.
I wonder if any of them say splendiferous.
Not as special. I want to find the cognac that is not as special.
Right.
You know, it's a lot like saying, I don't give a rat's ass.
Right.
Well, I want to find the person that will. What exactly does a rat's ass go for on the open market? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea.
The dollar closed lower today against the British pound, but rat's asses gained slightly in late trading against the Mexican peso. I'd like to know exactly how much a rat's ass is worth.
I'm thinking a rat's ass isn't worth much because if you're not even willing to give a rat's ass for it, that's the minimum
exactly,
amount.
Exactly, but I want to find the person that will. Oh, I'll give a rat's ass for that. Oh, cool. How many do you got?
Probably an exterminator, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, obviously you would have to have
a couple of beetles with a rat's ass. There you go.
Have a supply of rat's asses on hand.
Yeah.
That's a lot like what I posted on my Friday photo blog a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
A few weeks ago, about falling
fantasy
to
world.
About falling to one's death.
Living in a fantasy world.
About the difference between falling to one's death and falling to one's serious injury.
Right.
Yeah, falling to one's broken vertebrae and ruptured spleen. It just doesn't sound the same as falling to one's death.
Well, falling, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but if you did that, you'd fall and be like, you know, I really got hurt.
Yeah, serious injury. Serious injury caused by fall. But
I fell to the scraped knee.
But you have heard the phrase... fall to one's death.
Generally that's kind of final. That you know, they're done falling.
By that logic, you should be able also to say fell to serious injury. He fell to his serious injury.
No, more likely they'll say he is injured in a fall.
See, that's just wrong. If it's in my world, it's absolute. Damn it, black and white. It's one way or the other. It's all or nothing. God damn it. So this is what we've denigrated to. Blah,
puh,
blah. That's just the booze talking.
That is the booze talking because I don't think I'm awake anymore.
That's
pretty much it.
How do you feel about those stairs now?
Yeah, I'm gonna. Like I said, I'm
Mr.
gonna
Smarty.
Sit on my butt and slide my way down the stairs. That's the only way I'm gonna live through the evening. So.
That's awesome,
isn't it? Well, thank you for the alcohol. It was really.
Yeah,
Was probably the last time I drank.
Yeah,
actually.
I bust out the premium shit for you guys.
Awesome.
For him, I didn't get anything.
Well, you're the designated driver, and you know what? Everybody should be very pleased about that.
Yes, they
because
should.
Because we did this show in a responsible manner.
Exactly.
After this show, I can simply go to bed because I'm home. Right. You will have somebody to drive you home. And guess what? She's going to have a lot of good stories to tell after she drives you home, because you're going to be a chatterbox.
You think so?
I think so. Because that's, well, I don't know about you, but that's what happens when I'm drunk. I
it depends,
just
yeah.
talk.
Maybe I'll slip into a
no
Cockney
sense.
Accent.
I get snuggly. Oh. Apparently. I've only been drunk once, but apparently I was snuggly.
You've been drunk?
Once.
When?
Not with me.
Obviously she wasn't snuggly with you, pal.
No.
No, this was in summer of 96, I think.
So who are you being snuggly with?
Well,
yes. Yes, do tell. Who?
Okay, Rhonda, who we spoke about.
You were snuggling with Rhonda?
No. Listen to my story. Rhonda, who we spoke about
listen
earlier
to the story
before.
Left a good job in the city. Looking for a man ever, not a date.
Denigrated into karaoke. The mom face, I guess. Yeah. Okay, Rhonda and her niece, Angie, her nephew, Eugene. But Eugene wasn't there at the time yet.
Give him the stick. Don't give him the stick.
Listen to me.
Yes.
And our friend Christina, we all decided we were going to make a tent in Rhonda's side yard.
Pitch a tent.
I knew you were going to
I pitched a tent in her backyard. Was this when I broke your tent?
No.
Destroyed your tent with
rocks? No.
That was the one time my mom called me a juvenile delinquent. I can't believe I gave birth to a juvenile delinquent. Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to have to wait for your story for another time. Oh, we've run out of time on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Monopolize the conversation.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm just as bad as Johnny Houston when I'm drunk. Thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday, so we'll be back next Wednesday with more harrowing tales of things and stuff. Right here on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm slightly drunk. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. Colin Burton across from me, probably even more drunk. He's
very
been drinking
drunk.
Crown and Coke
very
for
drunk.
A while. Fizzlingpop.com.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Hey, good night, guys.
Hey.
And our designated driver from Matted Spam, my sister, Heather Knight.
Remember to drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly, kids. Blog responsibly, too, and podcast responsibly. We'll see you back again next Wednesday.